You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. It's 10 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Tuesday morning, April the 3rd, Spring Election Day in Wisconsin. A new state Supreme Court justice will be selected today, and voters across Wisconsin will select various city leaders and school board members and the like. The expensive and negative race between Annette Ziegler and Linda Clifford for a 10-year seat on the Supreme Court has gained the most attention. Ziegler, a Washington County judge, is running against Clifford, a Madison attorney, for the position being vacated by Justice John Wilcox. Voters will also choose mayors in the city of Madison and Green Bay and local judges and city council members and school board leaders throughout the state. The State Elections Board is estimating a turnout of about 800,000 voters, which would be about one quarter of those registered. The weather certainly isn't going to cooperate with voters today. Rain in southern Wisconsin, a winter storm warning posted for parts of northern and northwestern Wisconsin. We will follow up on the state elections tomorrow during the 7 o'clock hour. This hour, we're going to talk about presidential politics. Senator Hillary Clinton still holds the record for first quarter fundraising, but Mitt Romney's not far behind. The former Massachusetts governor beat his Republican competition with $23 million raised in the first 3 months of this year. That's well ahead of John McCain and Rudy Giuliani. Senator Hillary Clinton, again, a record-breaking $26 million. We'll talk about what all that money means in terms of the strength of these presidential candidates. And we'll also talk about former Wisconsin Governor Tommy Thompson saying he will run for president in 2008. Former Governor Thompson, will hold his campaign kickoff event tomorrow at Mesmer High in Milwaukee, and then he'll hold another rally near Des Moines, Iowa, before going to New Hampshire for other stops. Thompson, polling in the single digits, calls himself the reliable conservative in the race. So we welcome your reaction to Tommy Thompson saying it's official, he's getting into the presidential race, and we'll talk about all of the candidates currently running or thinking of running. Another Thompson, Fred Thompson, is saying that he might enter this fray, and he's already doing quite well in the initial polls, and he hasn't even announced. What does Fred Thompson have that the other Republican candidates apparently don't have? So, sort of a free-for-all on presidential politics during this hour. We welcome your thoughts and questions for our guest, a political scientist. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Our guest is Darrell West, professor of political science at Brown University. He is co-author of Celebrity Politics, and he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Troy. How are you?
You're also author of Air Wars, Television Advertising in Election Campaigns, right?
I am.
Yeah, so there's going to be a lot of money's being raised for those television commercials, isn't there?
This will be an unprecedented expensive election. I think the 2004 election topped $1 billion, which at the time we thought was an outrageous amount of money. This election surely is going to be much more expensive than that. It could end up being a $2 billion campaign.
$26 million in 3 months for Hillary Clinton. What does that tell us about Hillary Clinton and her strength in this campaign?
Well, it tells us that her strategy is to create an aura of inevitability surrounding her campaign. She actually has a campaign finance goal of raising $100 million by the end of this year, and since she is a quarter of the way there following the first quarter, she certainly is on target to have that kind of money. And it really just shows the advantages of having been in the White House. She's married to the best draw in the Democratic Party, Bill mm-hmm. Clinton. And there seems to be a lot of enthusiasm for her among the Democratic base.
Yeah. No big surprise that she was the front runner when it comes to fundraising?
Absolutely not. I mean, that has always been the strength of both of the Clintons in Mrs. Clinton's previous Senate. race, she demonstrated great fundraising abilities, and she's bringing that same skill to her presidential campaign.
Was it, though, a surprise that Mitt Romney was really not that far behind, $23 million raised by Mitt Romney?
Actually, that is a big surprise, because people have thought that the two the leading Republicans have been Giuliani and McCain. Romney outraised McCain by almost a 2-to-1 margin. McCain only raised $12.5 million, and Romney had $23 million. So, you know, for a former governor from Massachusetts who's really not that well-known around the country, to raise $23 million is very impressive.
Yeah, well, do we have any reason, or do we know why he's doing so much better than the one-time front-runner John McCain?
I think there are two reasons. One, it reflects the relative weakness of Giuliani and McCain. Giuliani is probably too liberal for the Republican rank and file, and I think even though he raised significant money, you know, he was outraised by Romney. And then McCain has really tied himself so closely to the Bush agenda, particularly on Iraq, that I think that is creating a big problem for him. And then the other advantage that Romney has, people often forget that four of the last five presidents have been governors. Oftentimes, when people are dissatisfied with the mess in Washington, they look outside of Washington. And so being a former governor is a definite advantage in 2008.
Well, how big of an advantage will that be for former Wisconsin Governor Tommy Thompson?
Well, there are several governors who I would view as sleeper candidates, and Governor Thompson of your state certainly is in that category. I think he's respected. I think he has potential. He has good credentials among the conservative base of the GOP. He was in the cabinet in the Bush administration, so that gave him entree to Washington money. But I think he is not as well known as several of the other leading Republican candidates. And although it seems strange to think of April being a late start for a presidential campaign, Iowa's coming up in the middle of January, and you know, Thompson is getting a late start compared to his Republican rivals.
Yeah. Well, who are the other sleeper candidates in the on the Republican side?
Well, the other sleeper governor is on the Democratic side,
Democrat.
Bill Richardson of New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you know, he's not attracted nearly as much attention as Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama or John Edwards. But Richards is somebody who is well-known, a former official in the Clinton administration, has negotiated with North Korea, so he has good foreign policy credentials, is a very smart guy. And if there is a surprise on the Democratic side, I think Richardson is the guy.
Yeah, I think he raised $6 million, not nearly as much as Hillary Clinton, but people weren't, I guess, were sort of impressed with that even.
I think that's a good showing, given who he is and the fact he's not as well-known as his Democratic rivals. He was number four on the Democratic list in terms of fundraising, and I think, you know, that's a very good position for him. Even if he's not able to win the presidential bid, he's somebody who very well could end up as the vice presidential candidate, either for a Hillary Clinton or a Barack Obama.
Yeah. And John Edwards actually got a big boost in fundraising after talking about continuing his campaign in light of his wife's illness?
I think, you know, there's never anything good that comes out of a life-threatening illness.
I didn't mean to put it that way, but that did happen, didn't it?
But in Edwards' case, given the centrality of health care in the 2008 election, he now has personal credibility to discuss the health care system in a way that none of the other candidates do. And I think, you know, the illness is going to create other problems for him in terms of, you know, amount of time he'll be able to spend on the campaign trail. But, you know, he's in the top three in fundraising, so, you know, he's still pretty much a strong contender for this presidential nomination.
Another candidate or potential candidate that I wanted to talk to you about, especially given your research in writing celebrity politics, is we have another celebrity who might run, Fred, the Law and Order guy, the Senator Fred Thompson, says that he is thinking about it anyway, and a lot of people seem to want him to.
Actually, I would see him as a strong candidate. I think if he does come into that race, he will certainly be in the top four on the Republican side, because He has good credentials. He was a prosecutor during the Watergate hearings 30 years ago. He was a former elected senator from Tennessee. But as you point out, he now is a Hollywood actor. And so he has the Reagan-esque ability to communicate that is very important in a media era. So should he come into the race, I think, you know, he'll be taken very seriously.
Yeah, and in fact, it sounded like conservatives especially were looking for a candidate who was more conservative.
Well, the advantage of someone like Thompson is he has good credentials among conservatives, but he has taken independent positions in the past, so you know he should be able to get moderate and centrist votes as well. But also, his big advantage is he's now outside of government. And, you know, we're in a situation now where two-thirds of Americans say they're dissatisfied with the direction of the country. They don't like Bush. They don't like the Iraq War. They don't like how people in Washington are handling things. And so either a governor or someone like Thompson or Tommy Thompson or Fred Thompson, who are now outside of the government in Washington, that could be an important advantage for any one of those individuals.
We're talking presidential politics. News from the presidential campaign trail, former Wisconsin Governor Tommy Thompson saying he's going to make it official tomorrow in Milwaukee. He will join the race for the GOP nomination for president. What do you think of that? What do you think of the other Thompson, former Senator Fred Thompson, saying that he might enter this race? What do you think about these fundraising totals that were released in recent days showing Hillary Clinton raising a record $26 million in the first 3 months of this year, leading the entire pack of Republicans and Democrats? But Mitt Romney, not far behind. Republican Mitt Romney leading his challengers, Rudy Giuliani and John McCain, by quite a bit. $23 million, almost twice as much as John McCain raised. We welcome your thoughts, your questions for our guest, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our guest is Darrell West, professor of political science at Brown University. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned. Peter Donald's in for Ben Marins this afternoon for At Issue. And after five, Peter and his guest will discuss the USA Today list of the top 25 quotes from the last 25 years, like "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall," and "keep hope alive," and "not that there's anything wrong with that." Some of the best quotes, favorite quotes from the last 25 years discussed on At Issue with Peter Donald's in for Ben Marins after 5 this afternoon. We are talking all things presidential politics, talking about the race for 08 and new developments on the campaign trail. As we heard Kathleen Dunn talking about this as well after 9 o'clock, with Hillary Clinton breaking the record during the first quarter of 2007, raising more than $26 million for her presidential campaign. Mitt Romney, on the Republican side, $23 million. And we are talking about those fundraising numbers and the news that Tommy Thompson is likely to get into the race, the speculation that maybe others are out there. We have full lines of Professor West, but let me talk a little bit. You said that getting started in late April was a late start for Tommy Thompson. That means that Fred Thompson, who I heard may not enter until, you know, maybe even this fall, is really getting a late start.
I think any candidate who enters in the fall, it's just way too late, because the amount of time it takes to build an organization, raise the money, and just figure out what you want to say, it takes a lot of time. And although, you know, it seems weird that we have had so many announcements a year before the election, you know, we now see that the early announcements for Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and Mitt Romney is what allowed them to raise all the money that they've raised. So I think, you know, the one problem that Governor Thompson is facing is, you know, all these other candidates are out there raising money. They've lined up the the big fundraisers, and so it becomes harder to raise money if you're not in at the very beginning.
Yeah. We got a call from David in Milwaukee, but his phone line was too scratchy to hear on the air. But I'll pass along what he wanted to say and get your reaction. David says he's a conservative, and he says he wouldn't vote for John McCain because McCain's a rebel, and that means he's not a conservative, because a conservative, according to David, is somebody who doesn't press for too much change. He likes Mitt Romney, and he says if Fred Thompson would run, he would be a shoo-in. Your reaction to that, Professor West?
I think McCain has in the past been a rebel, and he's been very independent-minded. I mean, the two things he did that really created this image was bucking his party and supporting the tobacco settlement, and then also opposing his party and supporting campaign finance reform. But McCain's problem since then is he thinks that in order to get the Republican nomination, he has to be very close to George Bush. He endorsed Bush in 2004, campaigned actively for him, even though he's best friends with John Kerry. And so his problem is, as Bush has lost a lot of popularity, and as the Iraq War has lost a lot of popularity, McCain has lost that independent image and reputation that I think created a lot of popularity for him, and people now are starting to see him as a Bush clone. And in this particular political environment, I just don't think that's going to be a winning strategy. I think McCain needs to return to his independent roots and put a little distance between himself and President Bush.
Beth in Oregon is with us. Hi, Beth. You're on the air.
Hi. I read that about $14 million of Hillary Clinton's money actually was transferred in from her previous campaigns, that it's not new money. And I wanted to know if that was true. And if so, that really doesn't make her the front, quote, front runner, whatever that means in terms of raising new money.
Actually, that is not the case. She raised $26 million in new money. She did transfer another $10 million from her Senate campaign into her presidential fund. So she actually has $36 million right now. So she's, you know, a third of the way towards her goal of raising $100 million.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Beth, for the call. We will go next to Joan in Duluth. Hi, Joan. You're on the air.
Good morning. I'm also curious about the fundraising on everybody. Who gives them all that money? There has not been a real campaign that I can see to send money to your candidate. Small people don't have that kind of money to build it up that fast. So it has to come from corporations or people that are rich or something like that. I don't understand it, because isn't that like buying your candidate? I mean, I believe that's what happened over the years, is that they get influenced by giving so much money, and that's why the campaign costs or the campaigns have gotten so expensive. I just think of, I think the whole thing is silly, because do you remember in small towns when there was the snow festival or the fish festival or whatever, and the girls would compete for queen, and it hung on who sold the most buttons, and that way raised the most money towards the campaign.
Yeah,
and the girl that sold the buttons was the queen, and it was money from her mostly relatives, and in some small towns it would be the girl with the biggest family and the most relatives.
Yeah, well, we get you, Jonah. Things are a lot different these days. Yes, Professor West?
Well, she's certainly right about fundraising. I mean, the money comes from corporations, labor unions, insurance companies, financial services people, and wealthy individuals. And the advantage that Hillary Clinton has is, since she's been active in national politics for the last 15 years, she has the contacts with all those people, helped her husband raise the money for his campaign, now can use the same fundraising list for herself. And it's the reason why she is a strong candidate. I mean, I don't know if she will be the nominee, but there are a lot of people who have written her off saying she's too polarizing, she's too divisive, she can never get the nomination. Well, in fact, she can get it. She will have the most money, and raising the most money does not guarantee that you're going to win, but it does guarantee that you can maintain an active media presence, that you can advertise, you can get your message out, you can communicate with regular voters, and that is an extraordinary advantage for any candidate.
Thank you very much, Joan, for the call. Joan was just, it seems she was concerned that the little guy is not donating to all these candidates. It's the big rich people and the big corporations. Should we be concerned about all of this money being raised and the anticipated spending in this presidential race?
Well, we should be concerned about the power of money, because certainly big money always has played a role, and today it's probably even more important than in the past. I mean, there are people of average means who give money. There are a lot of people who do $25 contributions or $50 or $100 contributions. But, you know, if you want to raise $100 million, you have to go to strong special interest groups. And, of course, you know, they don't give money just for fun. They often give money in order to buy access, and they hope to get favors from you if you end up in that office.
Yeah. Dan in Germantown is with us now. Hi, Dan.
Hello, Joy and Professor West.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly, I think Joan made a good point there. I wanted to comment on Mitt Romney and his amazing fundraising there. But don't forget his greatest asset and, of course, probably his greatest liability is that he's a Mormon. Those folks are wealthy. And they're mainly Republican. And I think he has demonstrated the rise in the power of his Mormon brethren worldwide, not just in the United States, by this fundraising number. It should be no surprise. I'd be interested in your comments on that.
Mm-hmm. Professor West?
Well, he's not able to raise money from people overseas. I mean, you basically have to be an American to contribute money to a American presidential campaign. But the other point certainly stands, that Romney has made a special effort to target Mormons in his fundraising and is obviously being very successful, although he's not just targeting that group. I mean, the other big credential he has before he became governor of Massachusetts was running the Olympics. And the thing about that job is that's essentially a fundraising job. And Romney did extraordinarily well at fundraising and, you know, got to know the big corporations who wanted to do sponsorships. And so, you know, those are exactly the types of skills that translate very well into the political process.
Yeah. Is being a Mormon Mitt Romney's biggest liability, as Dan was guessing?
It actually is a liability. There have been public opinion surveys over a period of 50 years asking Americans, you know, would you vote for a well-qualified Catholic woman, Jew, Mormon, or whatever? And the funny thing is, over the last 40 to 50 years, Americans have actually liberalized on having a female president, having an African-American president, having a Catholic president. But there still are a lot of people who have reservations about a Mormon president. 21% of Americans basically say they would not vote for a well-qualified Mormon who was running for president. So I think that will be an issue. I think Romney will basically have to do for his religion what John Kennedy did for Catholicism in 1960, which is confront the issue directly, talk about his faith, talk about his vision for the presidency, and help to reassure voters who might be a little skeptical about that.
Yeah. Remind us, Professor West, if you can, about Barack Obama went out to Hollywood to speak before some big fundraiser, and the organizer of that fundraiser used to like the Clintons, and then there was a big public feud over all that. How did Barack Obama do, and who's Hollywood supporting in this race?
Hollywood is giving a lot of money both to Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. The particular controversy involved David Giffen, who's a big Hollywood mogul, who previously had been good friends with the Clintons, but now is supporting Barack Obama and, you know, helped put together this fundraiser. And he made some very rude comments, actually, about Hillary Clinton and not trusting her, not trusting either one of the Clintons, and basically suggesting they are morally challenged. And the reason it became controversial is Barack Obama has basically put himself above politics and campaigned as a reformer who believes in hope, and we need to be bipartisan in our approach to politics. And when Giffen made those very personal and nasty comments about the Clintons, Hillary Clinton's campaign immediately called on Barack Obama to denounce those comments, saying they're too personal and they're too nasty, and if Barack Obama really wants to be above politics and have a higher level of discourse, you know, he shouldn't be accepting money from this type of individual. So it's just a sign of kind of, you know, how the campaign is going to get conducted. We have more than 20 candidates now. Not all of the discussion is going to be over the big issues of Iraq, taxes, and health care. There's going to be personal nastiness and a lot of vituperation along the way.
And Barack Obama's campaign did not disclose its fundraising results with the rest of the candidates, right?
He has not officially disclosed, although the informal word that has been put out is that he's a little below Hillary Clinton, but not by too much. I mean, people think that he has raised at least $20 million, maybe mm-hmm. even $22 or $23 million, which, you know, for a first-time presidential candidate, that is still a very good showing. I mean, that shows that, you know, this is a guy who's for real, and, you know, he's not just a flash in the pan.
Tim in Racine is with us now. Hi, Tim.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, thanks for calling.
Good. My question was, Mitt Romney, I saw in the news that he was paying some of his fundraisers, I think college students, like a commission on the money that was raised. And is that something that is new, or is that even something that is legal, where you're turning it into a like a sales contest type of thing?
It is legal, and it costs money to raise money. Fundraising actually can be very expensive, but the real money is not coming from amateur fundraisers like college students. I mean, presidential campaigns are not like bake sales, but there are big fundraisers who basically, you know, they're lawyers, they're doctors, they're insurance people. They basically bundle money from their colleagues, and, you know, that gives them great clout in the political process.
Thank you, Tim, for the call. Kathy in Oshkosh is next. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, thanks again for a wonderful program. My question's been lying around since this whole early campaign has begun. There are so many candidates. What is the factor in a lot of these candidates who are possibly vying for a cabinet post or some other position other than the presidency?
Well, my sense is that two-thirds of the candidates are actually running for vice president.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can see from the campaign finance figures, there are basically seven or eight of these individuals who are going to have the money necessarily to really run a serious campaign. The others simply are not going to have the funds to get their message out. And so I think some of those individuals are hoping that if they do well, perhaps, you know, there are going to be a series of debates coming up in the fall and next spring. Maybe they will impress whoever does become the nominee, and that then becomes a vehicle to end up on the ticket.
Yeah. A lot of people, yeah, say things like Bill Richardson with his $6 million raised, even though you think he's still maybe a sleeper candidate, a lot of people think he's a very attractive VP candidate.
He would be a great VP candidate because he's Hispanic, obviously an important constituency that's rising in power. He comes from New Mexico. Part of the Democrats' electoral college strategy next year is going to be emphasizing those border western states that have been trending Democrat in the last couple of cycles. This is states such as New Mexico, Arizona, Colorado, Nevada, I mean, even Montana now has a Democratic senator. So Richardson is somebody who could help Democrats at a variety of different levels.
Yeah, Senator Joe Biden of Delaware announced he raised $3 million in the first three quarters of the year. That's not enough.
No, he's number five on the list among Democrats, but I find it hard to see the rationale for his candidacy. I mean, he has good foreign policy credentials, but he's not going to have the money. You know, he comes from Delaware, one of the smallest states in the country, so it's not like there's a lot of electoral clout in his home state. He can raise money from companies that do business in his area, but I'd be very surprised if he was able to break through.
Yeah. What about, there was another candidate, he said he was going to run, so it's no huge surprise, but Colorado's Tom Tancredo announced officially yesterday that he is in the race. I think he is somebody who's really pushing the immigration reform issue, saying that Washington's not doing enough or isn't conservative enough for him on the immigration reform issue. Some are running just to have a national platform for their issue.
Yes, there are going to be some single issue candidates who feel very strongly about that issue, and they understand that a presidential campaign is a great forum to promote particular causes. And, because of the debates, if they're strong enough to get included in the debate, then, they're standing on the stage next to a McCain, a Romney, a Hillary Clinton, or a Barack Obama, and, they get their, 5 minutes to make the pitch. So I think, one of the reasons we have so many candidates this year is this is a very open presidential campaign. There's no president seeking reelection and no vice president seeking to move up. And so basically anybody who wants to run for president basically sees 2008 as a good opportunity in which to do so.
What about a former Vice President Al Gore? Think he'll get into the race?
I'd be surprised if he got in. I mean, he had a great shot in 2000, and it didn't work out. He has kept a very low profile over the last 7 years. Obviously, his issue now is climate change, and he's doing a great job of promoting that issue, and his documentary certainly has gotten rave reviews. But I don't detect a lot of interest on his part in going back into the election process. I think he's comfortable playing the role that he's playing now, which is operating outside of the political system and, using his prominence to promote the issues that he cares about.
We're talking about presidential politics with Darrell West, professor of political science at Brown University, co-author of the book Celebrity Politics, also author of Air Wars, Television Advertising in Election Campaigns. We're talking about news from the campaign trail this week, fundraising numbers out for many of the candidates. Hillary Clinton leading the pack with $26 million of new money raised. Mitt Romney on the Republican ticket next, raising $23 million during the first 3 months of the year. We're talking about the fundraising. We're talking about Wisconsin Governor, former Wisconsin Governor Tommy Thompson, saying that he is going to throw his hat into the ring. Thompson's official campaign kickoff is tomorrow in Milwaukee. And whatever else you want to talk about, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned. Kathleen Dunn is with you after 9 o'clock. Kathleen talking more about this issue with her guests, talking about the increasingly costly run for the White House. And then after 10 o'clock, it's baseball season, and Kathleen and her guest will talk about the beginning of the baseball season coming up after 10. We're talking with Darrell West, who is a professor of political science at Brown University, about the latest news from the campaign trail. 20 months to go, and the presidential race is continuing to heat up. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Looking for your questions, your reactions to the news about the fundraising figures released this week. Mitt Romney reports raising $23 million during the first 3 months of the year. Rudy Giuliani is second with $15 million. John McCain trails with $12.5 million. Hillary Clinton is reporting $26 million in new money. Barack Obama has not released his fundraising totals yet for the first quarter of the year, though our guest says that people are speculating it's around the $20, $21 million range, somewhere like that. And our next caller is Bob in Whitewater. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello there. I'm not sure how well your guest is familiar with our former governor, Tommy Thompson, but the general timbre, as I remember, was that when he left the Bush administration after 4 years, he ran away from Washington, and he didn't like Washington, and it was incumbent upon him to handle the Health and Human Resources Department, which is, I guess, if you took its budget, it's like the fourth largest budget in the world, and his legacy was that he couldn't even manage the getting out of the flu shots. And then I lived through the Thompson regime here in Wisconsin, and he's selling himself as a true conservative in this campaign, I think, already. And he, living through his era here, he never saw a tax he didn't like. He left the basically left us with high taxes and in debt. And all I'm saying is that with Tommy Thompson, the rest of the country, the phrase should be buyer beware.
Well, Bob, thanks very much. He's calling himself Tommy Thompson. That is a reliable conservative. You know much about the Thompson record, Professor West?
I mean, I know when he went to Washington, his big credential was having done welfare reform. At the time, it was pretty controversial, but he claimed Wisconsin did a very good job on that. I think his primary asset right now is having support among the more conservative base within the Republican Party, because there's some disenchantment with McCain because of his position on Iraq. There's dissatisfaction with Giuliani because he's seen as too liberal. Romney is a former governor and, you know, doesn't really have the foreign policy experience, so therefore is he going to be viable? And so I think these other candidates who are thinking of coming in, Tommy Thompson and Fred Thompson, basically look at the current Republican field and they don't see it as being particularly strong.
Yeah.
Although I think in Governor Thompson's case, I would put him in the category of one of those individuals who doesn't have a real good shot of becoming president, but yet, you know, he could end up on the ticket as a vice presidential candidate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his tenure as Secretary of Health and Human Services, maybe a few black marks on that record, Professor West. I don't know, anthrax and some other things that maybe didn't cast him in a real positive light?
There certainly are things that happened that his opponents will use against him. And even the fact that he was a cabinet member in the Bush administration, you know, certainly that will create problems among some constituents. But we have to keep in mind the Republican rank and file is not as hostile to Bush as the rest of the country has become. They are more conservative. And so somebody like Thompson, although he has some liabilities and he's not nearly as well known nationally as, you know, some of his competitors, he still has some cards to play. So, you know, he's certainly a serious candidate. I think he'll be taken seriously. I don't expect him to become the nominee, though.
Yeah. Well, no one expected, you know, the kid from Elroy, Wisconsin, to be the governor, the longest-running governor in Wisconsin either. He's really a campaigner and he's going to live in Iowa for the next several months, and who knows what's going to happen, huh?
Well, this is what makes the political process interesting. I mean, there always are surprises, and I would be surprised if there weren't some surprise that happened in 2008 that we don't anticipate now. You know, a candidate doing better than people think, or a front runner who people thought would do really well stumbling in some respect. I mean, that's what makes the process unpredictable.
Yeah. Thanks to Bob in Whitewater. Now we go to Bob in Menominee. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Joy. Hi, Dr. West. Just a quick question. As I was listening in the past to Governor Doyle's issues with Mr. Troja donating an exorbitant or more than he should have been donating in the process, and then I listened to the $20+ million that folks are raising. Is there any concern, or are there limitations to folks on a national level to be donating to politicians?
There are a variety of rules on fundraising. Individuals are limited to giving $2,300 per candidate per election cycle.
I'm sorry, how much?
$2,300 per individual. Corporations and unions and political action committees can give a little bit more than that. Individuals can contribute a lot more of their own personal funds to their campaign if they want to, although that can then allow their opponent to raise more money. So it's a complex business of fundraising, but, you know, obviously we're seeing a number of candidates being very successful at it.
And we are talking about news from the presidential campaign trail with our guest and with you. We have an open line now and time for you if you want to ask a question about an issue on the campaign trail, the news that former Wisconsin Governor Tommy Thompson is going to make it official tomorrow and throw his hat into the ring and become a candidate for the Republican nomination for president for 2008. The fundraising totals that are out right now showing Hillary Clinton raising a record-breaking $26 million during the first quarter of this year. That's three times as much as the previous record at this stage of a presidential race. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or talk at WPR.org. Former Senator John Edwards, by the way, raising more than $14 million. That's about twice as much as he raised in the same quarter for his 2004 presidential race. Governor Bill Richardson of New Mexico raising $6 million. Senator Christopher Dodd of Connecticut, $4 million. Senator Joseph Biden of Delaware, $3 million. Barack Obama's campaign not yet disclosing its fundraising results. Republican Mitt Romney, $23 million. That's more than New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani, $15 million for Giuliani, and about $12.5 million for John McCain. Next, we have Bob in Reedsburg. Hi, you're on the air.
Well, good morning, Joy and Professor West. I guess the Bobs have it, the last three Bobs.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Another Bob.
I'm going to mention a couple of things, and then I will go off the air and listen to the comments. First off, I don't know if Professor West was able to examine the judicial race in Wisconsin for the Supreme Court, but how distasteful was that for a prestigious position like that?
I'd rather not. We're not really focusing in on that. And being Election Day, maybe we shouldn't. So
correct. Okay. Well, I wanted to transfer all of the money that was spent into that to all of the money that is being raised right now, and how much that is going to be spewed over the airwaves within the next year and a half. It's just distasteful.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to the McCain-Feingold bill? And also, what about eliminating advertising and just putting up, let's just say, about 10 debates? Seems to be you get the most out of the candidate during the debates when they are on TV. And I'll just hang up and hear what you got to say.
Yeah, good points, Bob. I just didn't want to get into any state Supreme Court politicking, given that it is Election Day. But it was a very visible campaign on TV, Professor West.
There will be a lot of debates in this presidential campaign, debates and joint appearances, although it's going to be challenging because I think there are now 10 or 11 candidates in each party now running. And having a debate among 10 individuals becomes quite challenging just in the sense of in an hour format. You know, none of those individuals really gets a lot of time, and you know, the obscure House member running for president gets the same amount of time as a Hillary Clinton or a John McCain. So I think that will be tricky. There's no way we'll have a campaign without TV advertising. That is the primary means by which candidates campaign these days. But I think, you know, there will be a lot of noise in this campaign and a lot of distractions, and voters really have to keep their eye on the issues that they care about.
Yeah, McCain-Feingold is in place, right? But it that allows what we've been seeing.
McCain-Feingold was passed into law and has been in effect for the last two election cycles.
Mm-hmm.
It made some important changes, but it doesn't really address the things that really upset voters about campaign finance. In part, both Senators McCain and Feingold were hamstrung by court rulings over time that have really limited the types of restrictions that could be imposed on campaign finance, because courts have ruled that the ability to spend money is equivalent to freedom of speech, and so therefore they don't want to foreclose freedom of speech, and so they can't really cut back on campaign finance in ways that many voters actually would like people to do.
Well, the $100 million that Hillary Clinton, for example, hopes to raise in this year, is not the only thing. I mean, we'll have other groups spending for and against her, right? It's not just Hillary Clinton's campaign that's going to be buying TV ads.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, it used to be the candidates ran ads mm-hmm. and nobody else did. Today, candidates run ads, political parties run ads, interest groups run ads. Occasionally, you even have private individuals run ads. So it makes for a much noisier environment. And you're not just talking about television ads. I mean, there are radio ads, there's direct mail, mm-hmm. there are automated phone calls. I mean, there's a kind of, you know, there's internet campaigning. So there's a whole constellation of communications tactics that we will see in mm-hmm. this presidential campaign.
Ted in Green Bay is with us now. Hi, Ted.
Hello. I was wondering, in light of, you said that there's a $2,300 cap individually on campaign contributions. Where do the $1,000 a plate dinners fall in that are run by the RNC or the DNC or that kind of thing?
People can give money to individual candidates. They also can give money to parties. You can actually give larger amounts of money to parties than individual candidates, according to the federal campaign finance regulation.
So I can give my $2,300 contribution personally to a candidate, and I can also go to that $1,000 a plate party luncheon.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You can contribute money to both Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama if mm-hmm. you want. And some people do that to hedge their bets. So there are multiple ways to contribute in American politics.
Yeah. And I won't be doing any contributions of that size. Dave in Eau Claire, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I got similar questions. I've been involved in local politics and finance and have experienced some of these limits. But if there's a $2,300 limit and Hillary Clinton has raised, let's say, $23 million, has she done that $2,300 at a time? So are all of the contributions that much or smaller?
No, actually, the bulk of her contributions in terms of numbers are from small contributors. I mean, she has a number of people who have given the max. But she has raised a lot of money in $25, $50, and $100 increments as well. I mean, if people are interested, they can actually go to the Federal Election Commission has an online website, FEC.gov, and you can actually look at who is giving the money and in what amounts. Mm-hmm. There is a website called opensecrets.org that compiles federal campaign finance records. It's a little easier to use, and you can see what industries have given money to differing candidates. So if people really want to follow the money trail, there are several online tools that can provide information.
Professor West, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you very much, Joy.
Darrell West, professor of political science at Brown University. Thanks to Karen Prager and Leo Duran for producing this hour. Thank you for listening. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.